Get Talent Podcast.
All right, we're getting ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Sure you're ready?
Yeah, I think I am. We've done this a few times.
100%, Randy.
100%.
All right. Want to get into it?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cross, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danny Herskowitz. What's up, Danny?
Doing good.
Doing good?
Yeah.
Dude, I am so blessed, man. It is my son's birthday. I feel blessed that 8 years ago, he made me a dad, you know? So we're gonna give that gift. We're going to pay it forward.
Well, let's do it.
Danny, I love this episode idea here. This has really been on our mind lately. It's crazy seeing this a lot more this year.
Yes.
Than we saw it last year.
Unfortunately.
Danny, yeah. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about job offers getting rejected. Offers are getting rejected.
This year, offers are getting rejected, man.
Exactly. And
why are we talking about this, Danny?
Well, I think to your point, yeah, it's something that we've experienced a lot this year, more than we did last year. So it wasn't something we really talked about. You know, I was hoping it would stay that way, but yeah, things have changed as they always do in the market. But, you know, currently, from what I've read and research done by Glassdoor, they're saying that 17% of offers are declined. So that's about one out of every six candidates that interviews.
17%, one in six candidates are rejecting.
Yeah.
One in six offers are being rejected.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, not one in six candidates. Five in six candidates are being rejected.
Yes.
One in six offers are
Yeah.
Candidates are laughing. Ha, ha, ha. How do you like it? So they're rejecting these offers. Why? What are the most common reasons, Danny, why offers are getting rejected?
Well, I mean, this is the main reasons is the phrase that we always talk about. Time kills deals, right? That's, to me, the number one reason why this happens.
We say it all the time. Time kills all deals. And it's so true. And it's true in recruitment. It's true in real estate. It's true in just about any deal.
Exactly. And it was pretty eye-opening when you put it to me this way, was that good companies lose out on A-player talent because they move too slow and bad companies will snatch that talent up.
Yes. This was a real epiphany for me. As I sat there alone thinking about these offers that were getting rejected, I was dejected.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking about this plight and these amazing candidates who were serving up.
Yep.
And they're rejecting these offers. And I'm like, why did you take that one? Why did you take the other offer? This other thing is about to come is better. And yeah, these A-player candidates will end up taking these crappy jobs.
Yes.
Because the company moved quickly on them. While the A company was more deliberative, maybe had a more structured hiring process.
Yes.
Like to get more corporate buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're more established. Maybe they're less entrepreneurial and nimble, but they're more established.
Mm-hmm.
Good, solid, steady culture. A lot of things that are very desirable.
Yeah.
Right? And so these A players get snatched up by B companies because A companies are taking too long. And B companies know that they're a B company. So when they come along, an A player that actually wants to do work there, they move so fast.
Yeah. They see that opening right there, right?
And then what happens is that A company loses out on that talent. And then you know what happens to that A player? That A player ends up at a bunch of different B companies and looks like a job hopper because it never works out because these companies aren't that good. So an A player doesn't thrive there and they just get fed up. The culture's whack. The product market fits off.
You know,
whatever, right?
Yeah.
So then they have a string of like 6 month stints at three B companies. And then the next time we present them to an A company, they're like, yeah, but it looks like they have a really spotty track record. You know, they kind of look like a job hopper. Like crazy how these A players can get this B resume. Because they've been hanging out with these B companies. So anyway, it's a little phenomenon out there that we started to notice.
It's a good point. And this is a good message for candidate. You can go down the wrong path and kind of really mess up your career in a way, right? You take that one wrong move and it just sets you down this road.
And it's hard to tell candidates that because they need a job, right?
Yeah.
If you're a candidate and you're sitting, you know, and you're out of work, right?
Yeah.
You need a job and you're going to take the first thing that pays you what you were making.
Exactly.
So I get that. But you really got to make your next move your best move. And you got to time it in a way and kind of slow things down with the B company, make them wait and see if that offer materializes from the A company. Now, you can't wait forever.
Yeah.
You know, so that B company might make you an offer and they might put you on the clock.
Mm.
And then you turn around and then you put the A company on the clock to make an offer.
Yeah. So
listen, I've got an offer in hand right here. Yes, they've given me 72 hours. I'm going to accept this if you don't make me an offer. But if you do, you're my first choice company.
Yeah.
A lot of them are so panicked in that moment, these candidates, that they don't have that wherewithal. And that's why working with a recruiter makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
For these candidates.
You know, continuing on, the reasons that they, you know, reject an offer is because they've gone to another company, and 80% of candidates turn down an offer. According to JobStreet's 23 Outlook Hiring Compensation and Benefits Report, it's either, I mean, there's two scenarios. You either go to another company or you stay with your existing company, which is then a counteroffer. You know, that could be through compensation or promotion. And that's usually the reason that they'll reject the offer. Sometimes there's other reasons. Maybe it's a family situation or something else, some other circumstance. But, you know, most of the time, it's another competing opportunity.
And I think candidates need to also understand that if they have to go out and get an offer from an outside and they have to bring that back in order to get a raise or the compensation they feel like they deserve, that's usually not a good situation. That company's usually doesn't work out very long.
Yeah.
Kind of poison the well a little bit. And also now they may stretch to keep you there because they can't afford to lose you. But now you may be at an unsustainable pay range. And then the next time there's a little dip in business, a little downturn.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so-and-so is overpaid. We got to get rid of them.
You put yourself into a not necessarily the best situation. Sometimes it works, but I think like 9 out of 10 times, it's not a good idea. Right?
Because the way they value you is still the same. You're still the same person to them, but they just make, which means now you're overpaid to them.
Yeah, and they begrudgingly will do that, and they'll keep you around. Yeah. Like you said, it's usually a temporary solution. One of the other reasons is compensation, obviously. That's the biggest thing. We've done a couple of different Get Talent episodes on that. So the compensation that the company's offering is below market value, which I think is probably the biggest reason, to be honest.
I think the comp is low. That's another reason that these offers are getting rejected.
I think
comp
so.
Below market.
Yeah.
You know, and the comp is below market is basically the flip side of the coin of got a different offer at Walmart.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? Because the market is what somebody's willing
to pay. That's right.
Right? So if another company's higher than you, than your company, you're a hiring manager, then you are theoretically below market.
Right, right. Clearly.
What's another reason that offers are rejected?
Another reason that offers are rejected is no clearly defined career path is communicated to the candidate. And that kind of goes in hand with concerns about the workload. So if there's, I mean, this sometimes happens with what we talk about, job description. You know, if we always ask our clients to have a job description and sometimes you don't have that outlined, the candidate will be unsure of what to expect. And, you know, another company will give that information and they will maybe mistakenly think that's a better opportunity and go.
They really sell them on the job, on the career path.
And the
You know, and that's a really good reminder for hiring managers, too. I think that there's this old school way of thinking that the candidate needs to come in and sell themselves.
Yeah.
And the truth is that companies need to be selling themselves as much or more than the candidate needs to sell themselves.
Yeah.
The company needs to assess the candidate's ability and willingness to do the job accurately. And then once they say, yes, this person is for us, they need to put the full court press on selling them on the job, on the role.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why it's called a hiring need, right? They need that person.
They need them, yeah. And I think we need to understand that even though the economy has changed a little bit, I mean, unemployment is still in the low single digits.
Right.
So it's still a talent-driven market. So
yeah.
And a driven market.
Exactly.
We may not think so. And then there's pockets of it maybe that aren't. But I think it very much still is.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then the next thing is something that we've experienced is an employment branding issue. You know,
I think this one is huge.
I think it's really big. It's really
so big. And of course, I mean, it differs based on the company that you're recruiting for, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're recruiting for a big, but gosh, even big companies have issues. For you know, Amazon just laid off a boatload of people.
For sure. For sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big thing where, you know, you're speaking with a candidate and they'll come to me. I actually read something online. They'll say to me, you know, about this, you know, all the on Glassdoor about all these bad experiences employees are happening or the company got sued or, you know, all these different things. Right when they say that to me, I know right then and there they've already in a way made a decision.
Yes.
To an extent.
You're right. If they're bringing up Glassdoor, or they're bringing up, you know, some lawsuit they dredged up, you know, on the internet, and everything's out there. Everything's out there for better or worse. So, I mean, you have to manage your reviews online.
Yep.
I think that really this employer brand thing, I think, is probably the biggest problem that people aren't talking about in recruitment from a client side, from a client company standpoint. We work with so many companies that their brand is just not ready to go to market and top talent, right? So many companies come to us to recruit for them, and they are unknown in the marketplace, or they have a negative reputation. And unknown is almost as bad or worse. Unknown might be worse than bad. I never heard of them is a huge, huge objection. And it means a few things. It means they're insignificant.
Yeah.
It means they're irrelevant. It means they're not viable. It could be as bad as a scam. That's what I'm saying. Even like a slightly bad reputation is still better than like an unknown. An unknown could be like any number of things.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And a bad reputation you can work through. I mean, that's what we do as recruiters. We can help them with that. But you're right. If they're unknown, there's really not much we can do.
Yeah, it gets, unknown is super bad because there's not even objections that you can rebuttal against. It could be anything.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah.
It.
So that one's a real big one. And then helping the company understand that this is the situation. And I'll be 100% honest with you. We suffered from that issue. Glomo suffered from that issue. We had this incredible brand within our industry of global mobility.
Yeah.
Like we're like the voice of relocation and we got all these connections and all this, you know, goodwill and brand equity in our space. But we step out these doors and we're nobody. So we literally had to take a good hard look because we were getting offers rejected.
Yeah.
We were reaching out to people and we were saying, hey, come work here. We think you could be wildly successful here. And they're like, I never heard of you guys. What do you do?
Like, yeah.
And we had to take a real hard look in the mirror. And so what we ended up doing is we ended up actually investing in video to show our culture. But we made a video where we actually interviewed all of our employees and let them tell their own story in their own words. And it was so heartfelt and so like kind of emotional, kind of like it was just real, it was authentic.
Yeah.
And people saw it and they like instantly connected.
Yeah.
So we addressed it with that. So I would encourage any company out there that's struggling with this unknown brand in the marketplace, you got to do major videos. And it's not like marketing around like case studies, and it's not like marketing around, you know, the new, you know, Gizmo 2000, you know, commercial. It's here's what our culture is about. Here's what we believe in. Here's our core values. Here's our purpose. Here's why we're different.
Yeah.
And we'd love for you to work here with us.
You know, it's funny. Like I was showing a lot of my family and friends that video because it was so great. I think the way that they were describing it was like marketing of the heart in a way, right? So people are connecting to that part. You know, they're able to relate to that. See the real side of people. And I think that's what people want now. And what's cool is like, you know, you get that out there on your social media and we might, you know, at the time not have been as big in the recruitment world, but people are commenting and liking and they're seeing how much exposure we have in this market. So it then reinforces that we actually are known and we, you know.
I literally just was on the phone with the head of HR from an IT company. And they wanted us to take on 3 six-figure sales jobs. And we turned down the business. Turned down the business for two reasons. One, their brand in this region is unknown, in this country is unknown. Two, they've had a string of failed placements here.
Yeah.
Had a string of people, like 5 different people they've hired that have not worked out. And it's like, well, that sounds to me to be a systemic issue. That sounds to me to be a structural problem. Right. It's our job to place great people, your job to assess them, and then it's the manager's job to make them successful in the role.
Yeah.
And if that's not happening, that tells me that there's a product market fit issue. It tells me that there's a management issue. It tells me that there's a training and development issue. It tells me that your pricing's off or there's just not, you know, there's not a demand for the product. It tells me there's something wrong inside the organization so that when we place people there, you're going to be calling me in 90 days like, oh, so-and-so didn't work out. I need a new one.
Yeah.
And I'm exactly. I'm not trying to sign up for that hamster wheel.
Yeah. No, I've been
can't
there.
Do it. Okay. Can't do it.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. You said it's our job to place people and we can't place them if they're going to be rejecting these offers. So what happens? What do we do when the person rejects the offer? I know what I usually do, which is call you frantically. Freaking out usually.
And I know what I usually do.
What's that?
Say, Danny, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, you do always say that. The worst thoughts go through your head. And not only us, I mean, it happens to the hiring manager. They feel the same way. They feel just as, you know, down about it as we do.
But yeah, it's always tough.
when you get a job, an offer rejected, especially when you work so hard for it, right? It's really unfortunate.
Yes. Still the worst feeling after doing this for so many years. It still hurts. It doesn't
get easy. For a decade and it still stings, right?
It still hurts just as much, right? And yeah, it's I think you start questioning yourself. The one thing I will say, though, us working together as a team is I do think we've handled these situations really well. I think, you know, we really to jump quickly on this and really attack it. You know, sometimes a lot of people, when this will happen, either, you know, the recruitment firm, they generally will back away, right? They might get embarrassed. But the one thing I love about what we do is we face it head on, like we talked about in the previous podcast last week, you know, taking ownership of that and what we can do better. Yeah, we usually that starts with regrouping, getting on a call with the hiring manager. But I think before we even do that, I think when a candidate rejects your offer, you first want to find out, is there any way we can actually save that offer if you still are?
That's the first impulse. But does it ever work? Can we ever save it?
It's too late. It's too late.
I've never heard of a situation where we've given an offer to a candidate and they come back to us to say, I would like to respectfully decline. Thank you for your time. You've been amazing. The company was great. Love the hiring managers. Blah, 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 blah. But no, I've never once seen that turnaround. And yet we make a fool out of ourselves. Oh, but what if we got you $5,000 more? But what if they, you know how you said you had to work in an office? What if we didn't? What if you just sat at home all the time and didn't have to come in? What if we gave you 10 weeks PTO? What if that, it never works.
Never. You're right. It never does work. But you still have to try, right? You still have to see, you know, you still have to give it a shot. And then you have to ask yourself as a hiring manager, do you really want the person that just rejected you, right? Like, you're probably already feeling, you know, you feel that terrible feeling. And do you really want to go back and get hurt again, you know?
What are the steps? So the next day, what do you do, Danny?
Next day, step one, get on the phone with the client. That's the first thing. Get on the phone or on a in-person meeting or on a Zoom or whatever it is, and just communicate with the client and listen to them. A lot of our clients we have great relationships with, great partnerships with, and they trust us. And we'll kind of talk through what happened. And a lot of times it might get uncomfortable because we do have to sometimes give them a dose of reality as to why that candidate rejected that offer. And that's not always an easy conversation, but we have to go there and talk them through that, whether it's issues with the interview process, right? We talked about the interview process taking too long. Are they being realistic about what we were talking about their brand? Can they get the candidate they want for the money that they're offering? And we'll go through all of these things to see where, you know, things might have gone wrong and why it didn't work out. And then, you know, we'll come up with a plan from there. So that's usually our, you know, our first approach.
Yeah. And that is hard to have those conversations. We had to tell our hiring managers, like, listen, they said it wasn't the vibe they were looking for.
Right.
Have you thought about smiling more in the interview process?
Right.
Because they were a little freaked out by the hard exterior. You know, they're a little put off by it.
Loosen up a little, right?
They felt like they were about to walk into a flaming dumpster fire and get 8 million tons of work piled on their desk. And they kind of just came out of that situation and they're not looking to go back.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a big one, right? Like, that's it. That's the interviewer. It's the person that's selling it. So that's 100%. We give them that feedback and they don't, a lot of times people don't like to hear that, right?
It's hard.
It's terrible, right?
You need to fix your face. I mean, that's a hard piece of feedback to give to your client.
The no one knows about your company, right?
You guys, and you need to fix your face.
Exactly.
Right. And that's like a gut check moment, right?
Yeah. Now. And usually they're quiet right after that. Right after you say that, usually there's silence for a little bit. They're just taking it in and they're just reevaluating, like, whoa, like, you know, maybe we do have to rethink. As hard as it is, like, yeah, this, we need to adjust some things if we want to hire this person.
Or maybe we need to offer a hybrid situation. Or maybe we need to remove one of the requirements. Like, you know, they need to have this experience, but this other one is not required. It's preferred.
Exactly. That's 100% the case. And But I think the biggest thing is when we get on that call is we leave with a plan, and we always reassure them that we will be, this is a priority for us, because we know how difficult it is for a client to lose an offer like that. You know, they're already planning for the person to start, and they've got to go back to square one. And for us, it's like, we've got to come up with a timeline for them realistically around when we can find this person. Once we understand the kind of the new requirements or what they want to do to fix it. And then, yeah, and then we'll move on it as quickly as possible. And it really takes a priority a lot of times over other positions that we're working on, because we've got to finish the job.
The three things I would tell hiring managers to make sure that they do in order to not get their offer rejected. The first thing I would tell them to do is make sure they give the candidate what they're asking for. The second thing is do it quickly, right? Strike while the iron's hot. If you just had an interview with that candidate, make sure that you turn that offer around like the same day.
Okay. Yeah.
And the third thing, and this is really more for the recruiters, is, hey, you seem like a great candidate. If your company offers you a raise, what are you going to say? How are you going to handle that? Because you need to mentally prepare them, because when they go and they submit their letter of resignation and their boss, who has been their boss for 5 years, sits them down and kind of corners them and says, all right, what's it going to take? You know, what's it going to take? What's it going to cost? Oh, that raise you always wanted, that promotion you always wanted. And they start opening up the checkbook, right?
Yeah.
You need to have already kind of walked through that scenario and how they're going to handle. So those would be the things I would tell people to make sure they do, to make sure they don't get their offers rejected.
Yeah, especially the candidates that we represent, which are passive candidates most of the time, right? So that can be really enticing for them.
Passive A-player candidates, yep.
Yeah, those are great tips. And I think the biggest thing, what you've taught me, is I called you after an offer got rejection. You said it's going to happen. Offers are going to get rejected. And it's simple, but it makes you realize, okay, this is going to happen. The biggest thing is, what are we going to do about it next?
I think that's where I'd like to leave it, and just make sure that people know that, you know, an offer gets rejected, it's not the end of the world. And oftentimes it's for a very good reason. And just remind yourself, you probably dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Probably dodged a bullet.
Yeah. That's important to remember.
It's better they quit now than they quit 3 months in.
Yeah, exactly.
So have hope out there. If you're getting offers rejected, let's do those things we can do to make sure we prevent that from happening. But know that if it happens, probably dodge a bullet, and there will be more great candidates if you work with a great recruiter. We appreciate everybody that listens to the podcast. Thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe to it. Make sure you leave us a review. And if there's any type of topics you want to talk about, hit Danny up or me up on LinkedIn, and we'll try to talk about what you want to talk about.
Take care.
Take care, everybody. See you next week.